This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I am so glad you're here with us today. We are in the middle of a series on prayer on the Best Day Ever podcast, and I am really excited about what we're going to talk about today because it is something that I've heard a lot about, and maybe you have too, and yet I've only heard about the concept, not as much about kind of the details of it. So today, we are going to talk about prayer walking. And I think by the end of this, we're going to have some really practical ways to do this. Before we get into that, though, let me introduce to you our guest. I have joining us today, Miss Joy Williams. Joy, hello. How are you?
Hello, Katie. Thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I am just as thrilled that you are here with us today. For those of you who are meeting Joy for the first time, Joy A. Williams is a writer and speaker. And I love this, who is amazed her first name became her life's mission. I just love that so much. She is passionate about sharing God's grace and his ability to deposit joy into the most desolate soul. Joy has a teaching heart. She serves on the women's ministry leadership team at her church. On her blog, she encourages sincere and sidetracked truth seekers with hope for the heart and joy for the soul. She lives in North Carolina with her husband, Brady, and their teenage son, and you can connect with her at joyawilliams.com, where you can also receive a free PDF download of 5 ways to keep your joy or find it, whatever happens. I love that. That's joyawilliams.com. I love that. I love that your name is your life mission, Joy. That is amazing. And Joy, I also know that you prayer walk. I'm right when yes. I say that, right? You prayer walk.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's become an integral part of my walk with the Lord, literally.
I love that. And so before we get into it, how often do you prayer walk? I mean, is this like once a week, once a month, once a day? How often?
For the most part, it's daily. It's okay. Daily. I mean, there every now and then I'll take a different approach to prayer and not physically walk. But okay. It really started about a year and a half ago, March of 2020, of course, when everything turned for all of us with the onset of the pandemic. And being an on-the-go person, I was starting to really get that cabin fever. Mm-hmm. But even more so, I really began to sense the Lord drawing me to what I think Psalms 27:7-8 says best, when David said, "Hear me as I pray, O Lord, be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming."
Ooh.
And that verse just really summarizes what the invitation and tug on my heart felt like to begin prayer walking. So it started with, you know, really getting out into that Carolina air mm-hmm. every day and getting some fresh air because, you know, of the restrictions that we all were under. And it turned into one of the spiritual disciplines that has greatly enhanced my ability to sense God on wonderful days and not so wonderful days.
Okay, so let's just pause right now and say, okay, so prayer walking is not just for the great days. It's for the wonderful and not so wonderful. And I feel like you're touching on it a little bit, but tell me, I mean, just listening to you, even in these few minutes, talk about prayer walking, I can hear in your voice how passionate you are about it. So tell me how prayer walking has impacted your prayer life. Has it changed your prayer life? What impacts have you seen?
It has radically changed my prayer life. There is, you know, I was thinking the other day, typically when I open my front door, I'm going to the mailbox or going to the car to run an errand. Mm-hmm. But since I've started to prayer walk, when I open my front door, I'm responding to an invitation. There is just this keen awareness of the fact that I'm on a journey and that I'm never alone. It has really radically changed my prayer life because, of course, we know the basic definition of prayer is a conversation with God. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be terribly formal. There are really no right words. It's just being open to having that conversation with Him in the most authentic ways that we know. And for me, prayer walking has been a constant reminder that every step I make in life, no matter how difficult, God always has a path before me. Mm. And my prayer walking, you know, in terms of what the route is, it is literally lapping my house. I mean, and that may sound crazy, but it started that way because of the pandemic. And, you know, I would walk the neighborhood on occasion, but I really, my heart was toward my home, towards my family, towards different things that were on our mind and on our heart. So I began to do that. And then when I would see a neighbor out, you know, I would wave and I began to pray for that neighbor that I saw. So it really was a desire of mine to fellowship with the Lord. And as I stayed close to home by doing that and just slowly walking, it was nothing, you know, some days a friend of mine would laugh. She said, I think sounds like you're stomping around your house when you're angry. But I told her, I said that. And those moments when I'm going really fast because of some anxiety or even excitement, there are oftentimes I'll just hear God say, be still and know that I am God. And I will literally stop walking and gaze up at the sky at those moments and experience that moment as I believe He would have me to.
So I have so many questions as I'm listening. I have to pick a direction. Okay. And I want to ask you all of the questions, but let me start with this one. Mm-hmm. As you compare prayer walking, and I know that you mentioned you pray in other ways too, but one thing I will say is that sometimes if we're praying and maybe we're sitting in that comfortable chair, you know, in the corner of the bedroom or in the living room, I know that personally, I do at times struggle with distraction when I'm praying in those sorts of settings. And so I wonder if you have found in prayer walking, I just love what you said about how opening your door now is responding to an invitation from God. That is such a beautiful description of what you're doing. And it completely changes. I don't know, you know, that's something I will often do kind of mindlessly. You know, I'm opening the door, but I'm not even thinking about the fact that I'm opening a door. I'm just off, right? I'm off to do whatever it is that we're going to do. And so I love the intentionality now of how like that the turn of the doorknob or the grab of the handle is now a response to an invitation from God. But I wonder if this focus on prayer walking doesn't help you focus more in prayer. Have you found that to be true?
Yes, absolutely. Katie, you know, you mentioned about how when we pray, and of course, that's always an awesome opportunity to have that communion with God, but we might get distracted. And I have found that prayer walking makes me more focused. I should mention, you know, the prayer walking in and of itself, in terms of content, what that looks like, sometimes they're just actual prayers, just literally, you know, me, you know, praising the Lord softly or putting some petition before Him. But other times I may listen to a worship song on my prayer walk, which that obviously brings a great deal of focus. There are other times I may listen to a scriptural meditation, and as I hear God's word spoken, I'll repeat those words and make them more personalized. Mm-hmm. And so the prayer walking for me, the fact that it's more sensory, I think is what the core of that is. It really engages more of the senses than when I am still and sitting, even though those times are amazing and it's an apples to orange comparison. One's not better than the other. It's just a different approach to the throne of grace.
And then you've mentioned this a little bit. It began with you walking around your house, and you know, you've mentioned how you will. Sometimes it's praying. Sometimes it's worship and praise. Sometimes it's quoting scripture. I want to come back to scripture in just a minute, but before we get there, I am curious, one, does it still look like you walking around your house or has that changed? And are there like, is there a time limit on this? Do you say, I'm going to do this from this time to this time every day? Or I wonder, like, even when you said, you know, sometimes when you open your front door, you're going to your mailbox. I wonder if sometimes that isn't a prayer walk, like the walk back and, you know, to the mailbox and back. Is that a prayer walk? So I'm just curious what it looks like now when you do it today.
Yeah, typically it's in the morning. The time may vary. One of the things that I think I intentionally avoided was trying to make it so regimented mm-hmm. that it became some mm-hmm. routine of performance. So that if I wasn't out there at 8 o'clock every day praying for a half an hour, that I would feel horrible. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to fall into that trap. I wanted it to be as organic and as free and as liberating as God's grace allows us to have. And so it is typically in the morning. And of course, during the summer months, it's typically earlier in the morning than later. The length of time varies. I would say it's minimum usually 10 minutes, sometimes as long as 20 minutes or so. But I have found that my focus is more on what happens when I'm prayer walking than how long I'm prayer walking. Mm-hmm. There are times when there's a great emphasis on repentance and seeking God's mm-hmm. not only forgiveness, but direction on how to right a wrong. Mm-hmm. There are times when there is just gratitude walks. Well, I just purpose in my heart not to ask anything other than to say thank you for what he already has done and what he is currently doing. I really just give way as best I can to what I sense his spirit declaring that particular walk for that particular day to be. Mm-hmm.
Give way. I love those words. Ooh, give way to his spirit. And so you mentioned that sometimes scripture is involved in your prayer walk. And so I'd love for you to share some of the ways you focus on scripture during this time of prayer walking.
Sure. You know, typically it may be a scripture that I've read in my devotions, because very often I'll have my Bible study time prior to prayer walk. So very often the prayer walk is an echo of what I've experienced mm-hmm. in God's word in that reading today. And, you know, for example, if, you know, a scripture, I call on the Lord in my distress and he answers me, Psalms 120 and 1. If that has been the meditation for the day in my quiet time, then that echoes its way into my prayer walk. Mm-hmm. And that might mean me getting to a point in my backyard where there is tree lined, and I just stop and I take note of the way that the wind is blowing or the mm-hmm. sun is shining. Mm-hmm. And experience that. There are days I have prayer walked in the rain. Ooh. And I do that intentionally with an umbrella, because I find that God speaks to me about what that umbrella symbolizes when we're in a storms of life. It was very tempting to just go. Now, I don't go out in lightning and thunder and all of that.
So We're all glad to hear that, Joy. Yeah,
let me be clear. I follow weather advisories.
That's good to know. That's good to know. And so you are not saying that we should do that. You are not saying that.
I am not encouraging that at all. But in a light rain, I have felt prompted to be out there. And because I wanted to experience not just, you know, it's so easy to get into that mode of when life is good, God is good. Mm. But it's important to also embrace the fact that even when life is not good, God is good.
Yes.
And so being in that rain really has allowed that reality to be emphasized mm-hmm. even in my prayer life.
That is so beautiful. And even just the image of that is so encouraging. And so I can only imagine if we have the opportunity in the light rain to do the same. Yes. Just the ministering to our hearts that the mm-hmm. Spirit can do with that. And I want to ask you this, because as I'm listening, I'm picking up on a few things. So I'm curious if there have been any unexpected benefits to this mostly daily routine of prayer walking that you have experienced.
Well, a couple of things happened. You know, during the course of this time, we've had new neighbors move in, and in the process of greeting them, there was one neighbor my husband met before I did. And, you know, he was saying, yeah, you know, I live with my wife and my son. And the neighbor said, yeah, I see your wife outside walking sometimes. And my husband said, oh, yeah, she's out there. She's prayer walking. And the neighbor said, oh, my goodness, I know I've moved to the right place. And so even in that sense, that God would use that as a witness, so to speak, and I'm certainly not out there for that purpose at all, but it has, I think, God has used it in ways I don't know. That's one that I do know. There are also, as I mentioned before, just when I see neighbors, I begin to pray for them and just trusting in God's providence that the ones that I see are perhaps the ones who need a little extra prayer that day.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Just being alert, being really sensitive to what God may be bringing into your path because of the path that you are intentionally on in seeking Him in this prayer walking. And, you know, as we're talking, and, you know, right now in most places, you can venture out beyond your home and your neighborhood. And I wonder, Joy, if you have ever seen this kind of prayer walking done through, you know, around a school campus or something like that, or, you know, in the downtown of your community or something. Have you ever known anyone to do it about maybe a specific location? Because you've mentioned your neighborhood, and I feel like I've heard that, you know, where people will intentionally prayer walk, but the location is important as they do.
Absolutely. And I became acquainted actually with the concept of prayer walking probably a few decades ago. And it was just that I was involved in a citywide prayer walk where with a group of believers, you know, variety of churches. It was a unity effort of, you know, various denominations, ethnicities, and we would prayer walk the city. And that was an awesome experience. And it was done primarily in silence in terms of we weren't conversing with each other, but our focus was very much on conversing with God. And then later we would kind of debrief or talk about what that experience was like for us individually. There are certainly those who prayer walk school campuses. And as I mentioned, communities, and I've done that in my own community as well. It's a wonderful way to, you know, what I would suggest and what has been helpful to me, at least in those cases, is setting prayer targets ahead of time. What am I going to pray for as I'm in this particular environment? If it's a school, am I praying for the administration? Am I praying for the student body and their ability to interact with each other? If it's a community, for the safety of the community, for good neighboring to take place, whatever that might be. So that has been my knowledge of prayer walking for some time, but now it's an individual part of my own experience with prayer.
And so I love how this can be. I love that we've mainly talked about how this is an individual and discipline. I don't always love to use that word because it can seem rigid, you know, like we talked about before, but maybe just an individual practice or habit of prayer walking and the blessing that that can be. And the impact that that can have on our lives. And then also that it can be done in partnership with other people. I know that prayer walking is something that has greatly enhanced your prayer life, but I also know that there are other ways. And I believe that partnership in prayer is one of those things that has also enhanced your prayer life. Would you say that's true, Joy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I have a prayer partner who I pray with once a week, and we usually do that by phone, but every now and then we get together and walk, and it starts out, you know, we are chatting, and then sometimes we may be quiet and go into our individual, you know, prayer walking mode, so to speak. So there are several ways that that concept can be utilized with, you know, obviously when you're alone, but certainly with others as well.
And, you know, a part of prayer walking, so I have done this Probably not to the extent and consistency as you are describing, Joy, but I do have this little path outside my house that prayer walking in that way has just always been such a blessing to me. And a part of it, I feel like, is because I'm surrounded by God's creation. There's something about getting outside of the walls in my house. I don't know if it's just that the pressure feels more packed in when you're in the walls than when you step out into just the vastness of God's creation. And so I'd love for you to speak to that, but as well, maybe to the person who can't get out and prayer walk, but how they could still incorporate focusing on God and enjoying His creation, even if you can't prayer walk.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, Katie. I really appreciate you bringing attention to that as well. And as I think about that, and I've thought about that from time to time as I am out there walking, is that people can sit at a window and have that view of outside. And I believe God is faithful to point out what He desires them to focus on. It might be the movement of leaves in the wind. It might be the sunshine. Mm-hmm. Certainly if they can get outside, maybe to a porch, or they can experience that on another level. But even inside, mm-hmm. They might have someone open the window where they could feel the gentleness of the breeze. Just being able to see outdoors and the activity that's outdoors, mm-hmm. I believe if as their heart is before the Lord, He will convey the very things He desires to convey to them.
And there are so many scriptures that point us to creation, and they point us to God's activity through His creation. And I just have what you're speaking to, I have experienced, you know, where God will draw your attention to something in His creation, and He'll reveal something about Himself as He does that. And thank you for those suggestions, even for the one that's listening that's going, I can't prayer walk. Being able to experience some of the benefits of prayer walking, even if you can't. And, you know, let's go back to what we just talked about, even with the prayer partner. And, you know, you mentioned that you have done prayer walking in community with others. But let's just for a moment talk to the person who has listened all the way through this, and they're loving what the benefits of prayer walking can provide, but they're just not in a place where they can prayer walk for some reason. And we talked about how some ways that you can focus on God in His creation, but how about the prayer partnership or the praying in community? How can we do that even if it's not in prayer walking?
Certainly. With the prayer partnership, just, you know, finding another willing soul who's willing to pray with you on a regular basis. And that could be weekly. It could be monthly. Typically, my prayer partner and I take about an hour. We each take about 20 minutes to update one another on what's going on in our lives, what our prayer requests are, and spend that last 20 minutes or so taking turns praying for each other. Mm-hmm. It might be a small prayer group. It may be a group of stay-at-home moms that, you know, the kids, many of them are back in school at the physical school and, of course, practicing whatever public safety guidelines we need to do. But that could also be by phone, just coming together with others on a regular basis, committed to that prayer for one another, can really support a person and make remind us of the fact that we're not alone on this journey.
Joy, we've talked about prayer walking. We've talked about how we can engage in some of the benefits of prayer walking, even if you're not able to prayer walk. And let me say this, I have one more question for you. But before I say that, you had just mentioned like a prayer partner and you typically spend an hour. And I want to say, because if even me, you know, you hear an hour and sometimes we can go, an hour? When do I have an hour to do anything? And it's real, because we are busy and things are always happening. Yes. So here's what I wanted to encourage you with, because I actually just read this scripture in Psalm 119 a few days ago. And in it, the psalmist writes, 7 times a day I praise you. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I was convicted, mm-hmm. because I thought, 7 times a day, do I pray? Do I praise? Do I open God's word? And then the next thing I thought was, if you have a smartphone, it probably keeps track of how many times you pick it up a day. And I was convicted because I thought, you know, if I look at that number, how many times I pick this phone up a day, I bet it's more than 7 times. Mm. And so I would just encourage you, if you're going, when in the world am I going to have an hour to pray with a prayer partner? I would encourage you to maybe just begin with asking God to show you, do I have an hour this week that I could pray with a prayer partner? Or even just, do I have an hour this month? And just start there. And don't just assume that it's not there, but bring it to the Lord and allow Him to open your eyes to when you may have that time. Okay, so that's my little spill on that. But as we close, Joy, I would love for you, is there anything post prayer walking or just post prayer time that you would encourage our listeners to do?
Yes, Katie, as you were saying that, one of the things I try to do, I don't always do, but I have found very helpful, is just to write down one sentence when I come back from my prayer walk in a journal. Just one takeaway from that. Sometimes it's just a thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it's, Lord, you're so good. And sometimes it's some truth that He's revealed that has set me free. But writing that one line down in your journal begins to allow us to chronicle the benefit of our own individual prayer walk.
I love that you made it one thing, because it can be overwhelming if we're like, okay, now we need to sit down for the next half hour and record, you know, or we can turn it into pressure, you know, pressure to find a takeaway. And that is not what this is. But I always, I'm just such a big proponent of writing things down, because we'll forget. It's not because we want to forget. It's just because life keeps going, and we may forget those beautiful, precious moments that we have spent with the Lord and encountered His presence, and He's, you know, spoken to us or encouraged us. And so I love that you just said one thing. And I love your transparency of, it doesn't happen every day, but just to have that in mind, if you choose to start practicing prayer walking, which I hope you do, just after you finish that prayer walk, if you can have a little journal, maybe by the door that you walk in and you just do a little, jot something down. It's just for you, just for you, between you and God. And what a great way to almost track how God moves in your prayer walking.
Absolutely.
Joy, thank you so much for being here today and for just the blessing of all that you have shared.
Oh, thank you, Katie. It's certainly been an honor to share with you and your listeners, and I just hope that everyone's encouraged about what prayer walking can look like in their own lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that I have been, and I am excited to get out there and do more of this. And I pray that those of you listening have felt the same blessing and encouragement that I have, and that this has helped you as you go on to live every day as your best day ever.